guess would be that it is some sort of creature that possibly should be extinct.
This thing was 10 foot tall. He had beautiful hair.
As I pulled the drape aside, all of a sudden there were five beings this tall all around me.
Hello.
Hello.
And welcome to the Underground.
Yeah.
I'm Elisa Weglin.
Hello. Do I usually say my name?
We don't normally, we haven't solidified what an intro is for this, so yeah. We kind of just fly by the seat of our pants.
I'm Jared the Kaiju Man Weglin.
I didn't say, my title.
Oh,
yes. Your conspiracy loving host, Elisa Weglin.
Well, that's what we're known by. We got to say him.
Oh, we're so known.
Yeah,
people
stop
me in the grocery store and they're like, are you Elisa Weglin from Science Fiction?
Yeah. Do you want to? You love conspiracies, right?
Oh, and I'm like, oh my God, I am your conspiracy theory loving host.
Yeah.
Here's some. So,
yeah.
Anyway,
we're back in the bunker.
Yeah.
Piles of files.
Piles of files. We got them files.
Yeah, we got them.
And we've been perusing and a-scoozing.
Yeah, whatever that is.
It probably would have been better to say perusing and a-snoozing, because at least those are both words.
Perusing for a-bruising.
Mm.
Maybe, if the government's listening.
What? If the who's listening?
The government.
The government. The said government. The Carmen?
The Carmen's listening.
Carmen San Diego.
Oh, yeah. The government. The government's gonna get her, too, because she's on our side. She's part of the resistance.
Yeah. No one can find her.
Yeah. So.
It's a conspiracy.
We're gonna start off this week again with a little bit of news. It's coming in on the wire, folks. It's coming in on the wire. It's coming hot news. Hot news, yeah.
We're tuning our radio.
So one of the people we love, Guillermo del Toro, recently said in an article that he has seen a UFO.
What?
Yeah.
No way. He did not.
Yes, he did. He said that in addition to two encounters with ghosts.
Oh, my Lord. Of course he's seen ghosts.
He had a very vivid encounter with a UFO as a young man.
Oh my God.
Yes. Guillermo del Toro, the director of great films such as The Shape of Water, Pan's Labyrinth, and my favorite, Pacific Rim.
That's your favorite out of all the movies
he's
made?
Fuck yeah.
Well, I mean, I understand, but do you think that's the best out of all the movies he's made?
Well, it's hard to say, it's hard to have the bias of your favorite not leak into the best.
Well. I know that my bestest movie of all time I know my favorite movie of all time is not the best movie of all time, Jared.
Yeah.
So you must understand that concept.
Well, I know my best movie of all time is the best movie of all time. Jurassic Park. It is the best movie.
My best movie is the best movie.
So you're saying critically or filmmaking wise or
just objectively?
I don't know.
Okay, I don't know why I'm trying to poke holes in
Shape
Pacific
of Water.
Rim.
Are you trying to get me to say that?
Yes, because it's fucking genius.
I love
Pacific Rim.
Shape of Water is probably my third favorite of his films.
Well, I love Pacific Rim, but come on, Hellboy. So
yeah,
good.
Hellboy's my second favorite.
Shape of Water is
my third favorite. I like Hellboy more than Shape of Water.
What?
Yeah.
Shape of Water was so amazing. It was like art.
Yeah, it is like art. It is art. But it's not as rewatchable to me. Like Hellboy.
That's true.
And Hellboy 2. Also, anyways.
Anywho.
He said that just like all of his movies, there's very great production design to all of his creatures, all the things in his movies, just the sets, everything. So leave it to Guillermo del Toro to say that the design of the UFO was crap.
He said that?
Yes. He said, you sound like a complete... I'm not going to do the Mexican accent because that will just get bad.
Yeah.
I'll do Australians. I'll do Irish.
You'll do an Australian accent for Guillermo del
Toro? No, I'm saying I will do Australians.
So you'll be racist Australians.
I don't think Australian is a race. I think it's just a
nation. Well, it's fine. You'll be racist to all the white people.
Yeah.
Then that's okay. You can't have reverse racism.
He said, you sound like a complete lunatic. But I saw a UFO. I didn't want to see a UFO, says Del Toro. It was horribly designed. He was buying a six-pack, which he insists he did not drink. He was buying it with a friend, and the pair drove out to go look at the stars on the side of an isolated highway in Guadalajara.
Okay, so they bought beer, but he's like... No way am I going to drink it if we're driving to sit on the side of the road.
That was just for his friend, the whole six pack. I'm poking holes in your story there. You're
poking.
It's okay to have a couple beers. You could still have a credible story after a couple beers.
You can still see an alien when you're drunk.
As they sat alone in the darkness, they saw a light from the horizon moving super fast. They looked and they honked at it and flashed their lights. It went from 1,000 meters away to much closer in less than a second.
Oh my God.
And Guillermo couldn't help but note how boring the vehicle was, even though he and his friends started running for their lives. So he was like, this is scary as fuck, but that shit's ugly and boring. So
fashion police.
I can make a better UFO, and I will one day.
Yeah. He's made way better electronics.
He said, it was so crappy. It was a flying saucer, so cliched with lights. It was sad.
Sad.
It was so sad. It was like a little Trump thing there. Sad. It's a sad UFO.
Sorry,
I got
it. Okay. What an interesting story.
That was our little dive into some current news about some UFO. We'll dive into our case files now. And are we going to do Lisa first?
Yes. So, my thing this week, my file, is a cryptid.
Oh, yeah.
And it is Tikbalong.
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 Is Filipino.
Okay.
It is a Filipino folklore creature cryptid.
Okay.
And I'm going to show you pictures. It is half man.
Half man.
Half horse.
Oh, where's the horse part?
Top half.
Oh, darn.
I would have said centaur if it was the other way around.
Yeah. Wow, that shit's crazy.
Yeah, no, look at this one. This is my least favorite one, which I will...
Yeah, that shit's scary looking.
Yeah. But they're pretty scary.
That one looks like it just has the head of a horse and just really creepy arms. Doesn't have hooves.
I'm going to tell you about the arms.
I really like saying hooves.
Hooves. Look at my hooves.
Look at my hooves. Cloppity clop. Watch Freddy Got Fingered. That's our second Freddy Got Fingered
reference.
That is
our second Freddy Got Fingered reference. Oh my God. Shout out to Tom Green.
Tom Green. We are pushing your more than 10-year-old movie. To the people.
Oh my God. We love it. All right. So Tikbalong is a werehorse. Is a cryptid straight.
Oh, a werehorse.
Well, I mean, doesn't turn back into a human.
Oh, I guess.
This was described as a werehorse.
I never really thought if the were part means that it turns into something.
No, I think it's just half human.
Okay, yeah.
Were-rabbit.
Were-horse. Were-be-the-horse.
No, where be the human?
Yeah.
That's what you're putting the where on the front. Where's the human part?
Where?
So it is straight from Philippine
Fork.
It is straight from Philippine folklore that hides up in the mountains or forests in the Philippines.
That's weird.
Yes. So it's a hider.
They're not really, that's not really a horse territory.
No. But I mean, of course, all cryptids are hiders.
Because they're not.
What
there.
Cryptid have you heard where it's like their natural habitat is in town square doing a dance?
I want to think about that. I'll think about that as you go on. I want to debunk that.
You want to debunk my thing?
Yeah, I mean
my theory.
I guess Nessie is technically
under the water,
out in the open, but the water is
in the mushy underbelly of the lake.
I'm just saying that it's out in the open. The water is
it's not
clear, but it's murky. So that debunks that hypothesis.
Okay, well, I'm going to keep going. You keep thinking about it.
Mokele Mbembe is huge, but it's in the Congo.
Hiding in the jungle.
Yeah.
It's the Hawks, Heidi.
The Hawkesbury creature in that river. It's even bigger than Mokele Mbembe, but it's also in a river. So
they're all hidden, I'm telling you.
Just go ahead.
Okay. It is a tall, bony, human-like creature with the head and hooves of a horse.
I didn't see hooves.
Oh. Well, it had fingers on its hands.
Yeah.
But pretty sure its feet were hooves.
Look at my hooves.
Look at my hooves. Of a horse and unusually long limbs to the point that its knees reach above its head when it squats down. It's squatting like frogged out.
Yeah.
With the knees up above its ears. Ugh.
It did have weird limbs.
In some versions, it is a transformation of an aborted fetus sent to the earth from limbo. So that's a good thing to, you know, get women to not abort. Be like, I'm going to turn into a horse man. that's a shout out for all of the right wing pro life people. Go stand outside abortion clinics and be like,
it's a horse man.
Your baby got to turn into a horse man.
It's going to be a horse man.
It's going to be a horse man. And then, you know, watch all the women run away.
I think
they don't want to tick belong in their.
I think that's pretty cool.
This is a really dark joke. Aborted fetuses.
I mean, if the baby wasn't going to be mine, at least it could be a monster.
At least it could be a monster, you know? No, seriously, like, the information is aborted fetus sent to Earth from limbo. That's crazy. That's crazy. So originally, it was believed that the myth came when Spain colonized the Philippines and brought horses to the Philippines.
Oh,
too much in that
sense. I didn't think about that because they're not native to that area. So yeah. How could it be part of... It's not that old of folklore.
Well, wait. I'm not done with this part here. This part.
Okay, part.
This part. And so they used the... this is like in the middle of a thought here. But so they used... They're saying, like, if Spain had brought the horses, then they would have used Tikbalang to keep the natives afraid and indoors at night. The origin is actually much older.
Oh.
The origins of Tikbalang traces back actually 4,000 years.
What?
With the roots in Hinduism.
But,
because
they got lots of animal.
Mm-hmm. And Hinduism swept across Southeast Asia. From India.
That's true. There is a lot of Hindus in the Pacific Islands and Polynesian Islands.
And when they came through, when trade and stuff was happening.
Not so much now, but there is some influence there.
Yeah, well, it got changed over to Buddhism.
Yeah.
After the Hinduism, Hinduism spread through.
Yeah.
Yeah, there was like artifacts found of actually this like half horse, half man creature from Hinduism. And they found him in that same area. So this is like a serious folklore thing. Like people take it very seriously.
So now it's a monster.
Yes. Now it's a monster. Now it's not a god. It's a monster. Going from god to monster.
Oh. And Godzilla is just both. Always.
Always. That's why he's the best.
Yes.
So Tikbalongs like to terrorize travelers, leading them astray and playing tricks on them, such as no matter how far they travel, they end up back at the same spot.
And they switch the pockets, they put your phone in the wallet pocket and put the wallet in the phone pocket. And then you look for your wallet and that's your phone.
Oh no, you're gonna take an extra few seconds at Starbucks.
Stupid idiots.
So, yeah, he loves playing pranks like that. But, like, when you're walking around the forest and you're like, oh, I've seen this tree before, that's Tikbalong.
Oh,
cause, that's Tick Belong getting you.
Yeah, because trees don't look similar to other
I'm
trees.
I'm saying what Tick Belong is, okay? You, don't get mad at me. But so you can counteract this whole situation by wearing your clothes inside out.
Okay.
So feel like you're lost in the woods. Put your clothes on inside out, you'll get unlost.
Or you could just bring a map or...
No, it's Tick Belong. How are you not getting this?
That's right.
So another countermeasure is to ask permission out loud to pass by or to be very quiet while in the woods in order not to offend or disturb them.
Hey, Ticky, can I come through here? Okay, I'm just going to go quietly.
So either talk to it or be very quiet. Don't talk to it.
So... Either be quiet or don't be quiet. That's
who knows? Who knows what it wants? A superstition popular with the Tagalog of Rizal Province is that the Tick Belongs are benevolent guardians of elemental kingdoms. They are usually found standing at the foot of large trees looking around for anyone who dare to disturb their territory.
Huh.
So they also could be good guys.
Yeah, I don't think they're good guys.
You think they're bad pranksters?
Yeah.
Okay. A common saying is that rain from a clear sky means kinakasal na Tick Belong. Sorry, that's Filipino, and I do not speak it.
I understand.
May kinakasal na Tick Belong. And it means a Tick Belong is getting married. Or Tick Belong. Tick Belong.
What do they get married to? Other ones?
No, they're getting married to each other.
Oh, okay. There's girl and boy ones?
I guess, because they're... Mean, I mean, they could be gay.
I was just going to say, you don't even let me. I'm perfectly cool with that. But
it could be two lesbian Tick Belongs.
But I'm not cool with a Tick Belong marrying a fairy. I don't want no intercryptic.
What about when a Tick Belong marries a goat?
No. A goat belong.
A goat belong. This is potentially connected. This was potentially connected with a similar Spanish proverb that a witch was getting married when there is rain and it's sunny. Or you remember my great grandma said that when it's raining and it's sunny out, that the devil's beating his wife.
Yeah, that's really.
So I guess that when it's raining and it's sunny, there's lots of weird sayings going around.
Yeah, and they're all dumb.
Well, not like almost every country has their own, when I was reading this, almost every country has their own like weird animal marrying as like they're saying.
Mm.
So it'd be like, the foxes are getting married.
When the rain comes?
Yeah. That's... I've never heard of it. It's so weird. Here we just say like really sane, normal stuff like the devil's beating his wife.
I'd prefer to just say that the moisture is condensing in the atmosphere and is falling from the sky.
And it's sunny out. It's weird, Jared. There's rain and sun.
Yeah.
We need something to say to it.
Yeah. Okay. Well, we have to say that Louis Anderson is marrying Bam Margera. It's raining. I don't know.
Where did you even pull those two from?
I don't know. One I like and one's annoying. And it ain't Bam Margera, the one I like.
Oh, poor Bam Margera.
Baskets is a great show.
Baskets is a good show. I think we've also talked about how much we love that show before on this podcast.
Probably.
In some versions, the Tick Belong can also transform itself into human form or turn invisible. There was no explanation for that one.
It could just do whatever it wants.
I guess.
Except not be an ugly being.
That's not nice. It's when it's really invisible, ugly. You can't tell what it looks like.
Yeah, that's good. I don't want to see it.
Always be invisible.
I don't want to see it.
Oh, man, that's like, your mama's so ugly, she should be invisible.
Whoa, that's really good.
Tick Belong are generally associated with dark, sparsely populated, foliage-overgrown areas.
Oh.
So that's even taking the hidden theme even further, being like, also doesn't like to live anywhere other people live.
And it's hard to get to, so
it's all...
Just believe us, it's there.
Just believe it, because you ain't never going to see it. So, by one account, a tickbalong has a mane of sharp spines, with three thickest of them being of particular importance. A person who obtains one of these spines can use them as an anting-anting, or a talisman. In order to keep the tickbalong as his servant, the tickbalong must first be subdued, however, by leaping onto it and tying it with a special prepared cord. This would-be tamer must then hang on while the creature flies through the air, fighting madly to dislodge its unwelcome rider until it is exhausted and acknowledges its defeat. Or you can look on its mane and you will see three golden hairs, and if you pluck three of them before he or she eats you, they will serve you until you die. I don't think you'd want to run into it.
No, I wouldn't want to run into it. It's really ugly.
You just keep calling it ugly.
It is ugly.
It is ugly. All right, Jarrett, do you believe it?
No, this is definitely just some dumb story from the locals.
I definitely think it's folk tales.
Yeah, I don't believe this one at all. It's little... too crazy.
Horseman. Horseman's too crazy for you.
Yeah, and then you can get a talisman, and then it's your servant. It's like, nah, this is basically just some Bible shit. Like, it might as well be a Bible.
Might as well be a Bible.
Yeah.
It came from before the Bible.
That's what I mean. It's basically equivalent to, in my eyes, of its... truth level. Truth level. Zero.
Truthiness. All right. File it under don't believe it.
Yeah, this is the least believed out of all of the ones we've talked about.
All of them? Out of all of them?
Yeah. Yeah, I think so.
Wow, you really hate tickbalong.
Oh, no, it's still cool looking. It's still, I think it's still a neat looking monster, but it's the least believable.
I understand.
So, have you ever heard of the Thomas Mantell crash?
No.
No? Well, on January 7th, 1948, not too long after World War II, and not even 6 months after the Roswell incident, we have another incident involving a craft and the military. A pilot... by the name of Thomas F. Mantell, with the Kentucky Air National Guard, was involved in a fatal crash.
Fatal?
Yes. This...
There's fatalities?
This is Thomas Mantell.
Oh, hachi-machi.
He's a strapping young lad, yes.
He is. He's very American.
So he is... he seems pretty normal, right? Here's a picture of the crash... the crash site.
Ah!
That's a pretty devastating crash. He piloted a P-51 Mustang, a very prestigious fighter throughout World War II. It was used throughout World War II. Very great airplane. Mantell was a World War II veteran, even serving in the Battle of Normandy. He has 2,167 hours of flight time. So he it was no stranger to flying and being a pilot. He even opened up his own flight school. And on the night in question, Mantell was flying a P-51D Mustang in a squadron with three others. And that's when a bright object was spotted. Did I say night? It was actually daytime.
Okay.
This is important because... it was bright enough to be seen in the daytime. The object was spotted near Madisonville, Kentucky, and was approximated at 90 meters in diameter. That's about 300 feet across. That's pretty big for something in the air.
Mm-hmm.
And observers at the nearby Fort Knox, including officers, so these aren't just grunts saying this, they described the object as very white. So... it was just from the suburban area.
Oh, zing!
No, it was very white, about one-fourth the size of the full moon in the sky. Through binoculars, it appeared to have a red border at the bottom, and it remained stationary seemingly for an hour and a half, and as having an appearance of a flaming red cone trailing a gaseous green mist.
What?
Yeah.
There's too many, like, images, like, going on. Like, simplify it.
So it's like a cone with like a ball and then a cone coming down, like almost like an ice cream cone with green gas coming off of it. And the cone is red. That's what they're saying they're seeing. Another observer at Lockburn Army Airfield in Ohio noted, just before leaving, it came very near to the ground, staying down for about 10 seconds, then climbed at a very fast rate back to its original altitude, 10,000 feet, leveling off and disappearing into the overcast heading 120 degrees. Its speed was greater than 500 miles an hour. So Mantell and his squadron were told to investigate. One of the planes needed fuel, so he left for the base. The rest continued in pursuit. They had to climb after this thing, past 10,000 feet, and they climbed upwards of 22,000 feet. Now, in these old World War II planes, a lot of them didn't have oxygen masks, which you need when you start getting upwards of 20,000 feet, which they were breaking at this point.
So they were about to pass out.
Yeah, at that point, you start to black out.
Mm-hmm.
And one of them did have an oxygen mask, but even he broke off. But Mantell, he stayed on this UFO. He kept climbing. He seemed like he was entranced by this ball of light. Mantell apparently believing he was getting enough oxygen. He was telling everybody he thought he was getting enough oxygen. So he kept going. At around 3:15 in the day, some of the tower crew thought they heard Mantell say, "It appears to be a metallic object, or possible reflections of the sun coming from a metallic object. And it is of tremendous size. I'm still climbing. The object is above and ahead of me, moving at my speed or faster. I'm trying to close for a better look." Further messages from the pilot were garbled, and shortly afterward, all contact was lost. At 3:50 p.m., the Godman Tower lost sight of the UFO, too.
This is horrifying. Why doesn't it say, like, more clearly, like, everyone was like, "No! Stop!" It just seems like everyone was going along with it, like, that's Jim.
To me, it was like, they were like, yeah, what's he going to do? Like, they were on the edge of their seat, too. At about 5 p.m., the remains of Mantell's plane was found, scattered across a farm. The Air Force investigation determined that Mantell probably lost consciousness due to lack of oxygen when his plane hit 25,000 feet. The aircraft may have continued to climb until it reached 30,000 feet, its limit, then nosedived. As it raced toward the ground, Mantell may have recovered his senses and tried to pull up, but it was too late. The forces of the dive were too high, and the plane came apart while still in the air.
God.
However, an eyewitness saw the plane come down and said it was tumbling down, so, like, no one was trying to pull up. So, I don't know. Maybe something else was happening.
Or maybe he just was still passed out.
Yeah, that's true, too. Now, here are some rumors. There's a whole list of rumors about what might have happened.
Well, I mean, shouldn't these be called conspiracy?
I don't know. They're not that big. There's not... Conspiracy theories seem to have a little more evidence to them. These are kind of just rumors.
Just like some crazy guy shouting it on the corner. This is
happening. Hey, this is guy over there. No, okay, these are the rumors. Among the rumors were claims that the flying saucer was a Soviet missile.
Okay.
And the other claims were true, that he climbed and just fell down. It was an alien spacecraft that shot down Mantell's fighter when he got too close.
Mm-hmm.
Captain Mantell's body was found riddled with bullets. Which would mean something different, because aliens don't use bullets, right?
Yeah.
Mm.
Well, who uses bullets 25,000 feet in the air?
I don't know. Maybe some secret Russian plane, something like that. And another one was, Mantell's body was completely missing. It wasn't in the plane at all. Like, the plane fell without a body in it at all. Which would also substantiate the woman's claim that the plane tumbled to the ground, like there was no one trying to control it at all. I know, right? And another one was, the plane had completely disintegrated in the air. Nothing fell down, which is not true because we saw the crash. And another one was that the wreckage was radioactive. Of course the U.S. Air Force denied all these claims.
Of course they did.
They just blacked it out on their reports. Yeah, of course. And then there's also a weather balloon claim. When this case was being investigated in 1952, it was found out that two observers in separate locations had reported viewing an object through a telescope close to the time and location of the incident. Both observers stated that it was a large balloon. The Navy reportedly were using skyhook balloons in the area, which were also top secret at this time, but were not when this was being investigated.
So this man killed himself over a balloon.
I don't know, because I don't know if they... I don't know.
It seems like it was a really good idea for our military to stop using balloons, because it seemed to really fuck with everybody thinking that there was aliens.
I think that we still use balloons here and there.
Maybe those are the few sightings you hear about every now and then.
I think that the balloon thing is also a fucking trick from the government saying it's a balloon because it was also an alien craft. And they are trying to keep us from going to war with the aliens because this is the first recorded casualty from a UFO incident.
I think if it was even if it was a UFO, I think the UFO didn't mean to kill that person.
It obviously did because we have a dead American on the ground.
He shouldn't have followed the UFO so high. He knew his limitations.
They brought him in. They brought him in with that light. He couldn't help
it. What is he, a cat?
Yes. He's in there.
Sergeant Kitty.
Oh.
Couldn't look away from the light.
We need to strike back now. We need to strike back with full force and kill them all.
Okay.
I don't know why Kennedy wants to kill the aliens. Kennedy was relatively peaceful.
Yeah, Kennedy, I'm sure, would have been really cool with some aliens.
Maybe Mayor Quimby's much dumber.
Mayor Quimby would totally kill some aliens.
So, that's pretty much all I have on the Mantel case.
I file it under, I believe it, I don't know what it was.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, like, something fucking was there. Everybody saw it. It was something.
Another weird thing about this case is Thomas Mantel, he was born in this city, and he immediately moved away. He was only in that city one day when he was born, the hospital. And then he crashed in that city. He was only in that city for 2 days when he was born and when he died. So
that's crazy.
Maybe there's something there.
I think that's just a really cool happenstance.
There's no such thing as coincidences when we're talking about the government and their fucking conspiracies about us. And we need to take down.
I'm supposed to be the crazy conspiracy theory one. You're being insane. But I believe it. I think that it had to have been something, whether it was a Russian something or other or... more than just him saw it.
Yeah, there's also some claims that there was also a big visual of Venus that day. So
I don't think that they were. They saw it on the radar.
While I agree that maybe he could have had some pilot error in going after a balloon or something, I don't think, with all that experience, he would fly towards Venus until he passed out.
No. I need to get to Venus.
I don't need a rocket.
No, it's just funnier that he doesn't know what it is. And yeah. He's like, it's aliens.
I'm going to fly to heaven, Marcy.
Oh, that's
ticket for one.
I like that. Good story. Good story. Yay.
And this is, there was a lot, after this, there was many more stories of UFO encounters with war aircraft.
So they picked up. Sure. I feel like if, you know, aliens were coming, they'd be very attracted to our war machinery.
Especially when the Cold War vamped
up. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
But also, I feel like soldiers are more likely to have those experiences because they're under a lot of stress.
A lot of stress.
They see some pretty terrifying, unidentifiable things.
Mm-hmm.
And government probably tests shit on them.
Yeah, so, they may not even know. They may not even know they're being tested on.
Exactly.
And they probably get some shit food. And that,
no, they're not taken care of very well.
That attributes to the stress.
Bless our soldiers.
Yeah.
But anyway. So, yeah, that was fun. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks for listening.
Yeah.
This was a short episode.
Mm-hmm. We have a exclusive new Patreon content going up.
Exclusive.
And Patreon, we will put a little clip of it right here.
I found the flashlight and eventually found the restroom at the center of the campground. I had just sat down on the stool. And put my flashlight on the floor.
I'm just going to pee on the stool.
The stool is the peeing stool. When I heard a noise, my first thought was that I was sure the door was closed fully behind me and latched, thus locking behind me. As I sat there peeing, the doorknob turned and the door opened slightly. At this point, I was done peeing, but was sitting there scared out of my wits. What with a bear or a raccoon or a camper or something was coming in.
Oh no, not a raccoon.
Not a raccoon. Now this is the part where James does not believe me. In walked the biggest, hairiest, what looked to be a man that I have ever seen.
Oh, from what sorry, ma'am. I didn't mean to intrude.
Oh, sorry, I didn't know it was locked.
It's very polite. Jeez. That's...
We're so funny!
Out of context... That's weird, I know, but that is us reading some Bigfoot erotica and some alien erotica.
Alien Bigfoot erotica.
And boy, does it get weird. So
it gets good.
You should go check out our Patreon at SFDFDI podcast.
And no, it's after the Patreon.com.
Yeah, patreon.com/SFDFDI podcast.
But yes, we're going to be posting, you know, scripts from the shows that we do.
Yeah, we're going to have
some. Jared's going to be making some videos.
Yeah, I'm going to be going to some of the cool sci-fi filming locations around where we live. We got The Lost World. We got E.T. We got Earth Girls Are Easy. We got... Oh, there's a
Back
to the Future. Back to the Future. Yeah. So
We love LA. Whatever. So, I don't even remember how it goes.
We got that little series that I'm going to be putting together for the Patreon dudes and dudettes.
Yeah, thanks.
Going to be firing up the drone for that too.
Hell yeah.
So yeah. Check out that Patreon, and we love you guys for listening to these guys.
Yeah, we love you. You're great.
Thank you for listening to this show.
And also, for May, our topic is going to be suggestions from you guys.
Yeah.
So
the theme is May I Suggest, because it's May. Get it?
Wow.
We're already getting suggestions in, and this episode won't come out till Thursday, but you can get a suggestion in all the way until Friday night.
Yes, so send us anywhere. Yeah. Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, through the mail. yell it at us on the street. But tell us what your suggestion for any sci-fi movie would be.
Yeah.
And we will pull one or two. Because we do two.
Yeah, we're going to randomize it.
Yeah, we're going to pull two out of a hat. or randomize it, or whatever we're going
to
do.
And it may be too many to put in a hat. I don't want to write that many names, but...
And then we're going to post a live video of us picking it.
If they're good, even if they're bad, we already have Jurassic Park 3. Thank you, Bespotted Geek Podcast. You fucking hate me.
Oh, it was Bespotted Geek. It wasn't Home Video Hustle.
No, Home Video Hustle Podcast was nice to me. They gave us a Carnosaur, which is good, which is a good bad movie.
Thanks, Brant.
Thanks, Brant. Okay, yeah, but you should give us something if you want us to watch it and talk about it. And I think that's all of our announcements.
Yes. So, thanks for listening, and we'll see you on the other side.
And praise Godzilla.
Praise Godzilla. Praise. You gotta praise him. He praise is our Godzilla. Lord, and he you is gotta our praise Savior. Him. If you praise don't praise Godzilla. Him, you're a praise fuck him. Ass.
Oh my gosh. Language. Fucking praise him.
See what movie's playing next at Sci-Fi.